From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of January, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And during our cash grain segment, Bruce Bostard will be here from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Jim Angel will be along too. He's the Illinois State Water Survey climatologist with the Prairie Research Center and will talk to us about the weekend weather forecast and the cold weather that we have finally gotten here in our part of the world. And along the way today, I'll tell you more about the Corn and Soybean Classic series that I've been hosting this week and where you can go if you're in the northern part of Illinois next week to listen to the crop production specialist from the U of I. And more than listen, you can ask them questions about your farm and crop production in the state of Illinois and the Midwest. The Corn and Soybean Classic series, you can find all the details on that one at cropsciconferences.com. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report, a Friday edition.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon from the CME Group's Board of Trade, the nearby contract, and the soft red winter wheat down 2 3/4 today. $6 2 and a quarter, the settlement price. May at 6.24 1/4, down 2 3/4, and July at 6.45 3/4, down 2 1/4. March corn at $5.99 1/2, 12 cents lower. The May at 6.06 1/2, 11 3/4 lower, and July corn $6.12, down 11 1/4. September corn futures 5.78. down 2, December at 5.55 1/4, 5 3/4 lower, and the March of 2013, $5.65, down 8 cents. January soybeans for the afternoon, $11.60, the settlement price, down 18 1/2, the March at 11.58 1/4, down 24 1/4, May futures 11.67 3/4, down 24 3/4, and July at 11.77 3/4, 25 cents lower. September beans 11.76 1/2, down 24 3/4, November at 11.70, down 18 1/2 for the day. Bean meal at 304.80 in the lead option January, $1.30 lower. January soybean oil at 50.20, down 95 cents. Live cattle futures finished the April at 126.40, up $1.15. March feeders at 152.37 1/2, up 57 1/2 cents. And April lean hogs today, $87 and a nickel, 47 1/2 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $98.89 a barrel, down 21 cents. And the ethanol at 212 and a tenth, 3 1/10 lower, rather 3 3/10 lower. Natural gas at 264 and 7 tenths, 0.5 cent lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.03 1/6 cents, down 1 1/7 cents. And the gold futures on the day at $1,630.40, down $16.90. The dollar at 81.51, up 0.74. And the CRB index at 307.70, down 2.16 for the day. The weather forecast says yet this evening we'll see cloudy skies. Then they'll gradually become partly cloudy with a low of just 8 degrees this evening in the Urbana-Champaign area. Wind chill values between 1 degree below and 4 above. West-southwest winds at 5 to 11. Saturday, a 50% chance of snow, increasing clouds, a high near 26. Wind chill on Saturday between 0 and 10 with a southwest wind at 5 to 9. And then Saturday night, mostly cloudy, the low of 15 degrees with a west wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. On Sunday, we should see mostly sunny skies in the area with a high of 33 degrees with a southwest wind. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 30. Martin Luther King Day, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a high near 45 degrees. Monday night, rain likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. And Tuesday, chance of snow, partly sunny, a high near 33 degrees. And Tuesday night, we'll see partly cloudy skies with a low of just 15. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 29. Wednesday night, cloudy and a low of 21. And on Thursday, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a high near 31 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at the Illinois State Water Survey. James Angel, director, will be with us. He's the state climatologist. On this Friday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. The phone line this day is Mike Zuzula at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Happy Friday to you, Todd.
Did you get sleep last night?
Yes. Wednesday night, no. But last night, yes.
Yeah. Well, after things finally came out and settled down, boy, I was hosting the Corn and Soybean Classic series, and I've been on the road for the most of this week, and I'll be out all again next week with that series. We'll talk about that a bit later. But yesterday morning, I watched those numbers come out. I was here in Champaign County at the I Hotel, and I saw the bean number, and I thought, oh, that's going to hurt. And I didn't even look over at the corn number other than I saw it was just 2 million change on the ending stocks. No big deal, right? Well, unless you're off by 100 million, according to the rest of the trade, I suppose.
Exactly. The quarterly grain stocks, I think, were the big, big hit in the corn when it came to the, I think there's about 220 to 250 million bushels that the USDA came out with, probably bigger than not only what the trade expected, but what the trade had priced in. I think it was pretty clear that the trade had gone ahead and bought corn and sold beans and bought wheat and sold beans ahead of the report. And I think the trade got it right when you look at the medium-term fundamentals and what that report said. I mean, I was struck because I was like you. I thought the bean report was much, much more negative. And when I saw Argentina's crop lowered and then their exports were lowered, and then I saw Chinese corn imports were raised a million metric tons, and I saw our exports were raised 50 million bushels, first time since July, I felt like that's not a bad report. But the quarterly grain stocks, I think, really tripped up a lot of people. And it's a key point here, Todd, that in this environment we're in right now, it's the CFTC Commitment to Traders report pretty much shows us that we don't have any index funds buying, and the end users are very, very short. And so what we've had here is small speculators and commodity trading advisors come in, and managed money has really been the heart and soul of this rally. Well, those are the ones that move very quickly. Those are the ones that go long and go short. So I think that's why another reason why we had them out of place after the report, and they moved very, very quickly to change position.
And they changed position. Have we settled it out now? Are we good to go for a while again?
I don't think so. I think there's three things now, because USDA, that report, has put the burden back on the demand bulls to say, prove your case, because we at the USDA don't think that there's any problem with supplies. That is, U.S. supplies especially, and even to a lesser degree, South American supplies. So now we're back to what we dealt with before the holidays. We're back to needing the outside markets and the currencies on our side, and that we don't have any deflationary trade. Then that probably will bring in the index funds. Weather and the threatening South American crops, that needs to be seen. And I think that, along with the chart technicals and holding the mid-December lows, those are going to become very, very important as early as next week. So I think short-term issues, weather, chart technicals need to prop us up. And in the medium term, if you want the index funds to buy, you don't want gold to go down, you don't want the dollar to go up, and you don't want bonds to go up, because that's an indication that the trade's more worried about global demand and more worried about deflation. And that, I think, is going to keep the index guys out.
I know very well that the farmer will have looked at that yesterday and said, but there isn't corn on the ground anywhere.
Right.
So that's here. Is there any corn on the ground anyplace? I don't think so, right?
You bring up a big point, because in their weekly numbers, USDA, when they pull the elevators around the country, they show about 73 million bushels of corn in stocks. That's down about 20% from last year. So right now there is a mismatch, in my opinion, with what the weekly numbers show, what producers are telling me, and what the USDA gave on the corn stocks. And what I've tried to say to producers since the report is, okay, let's put corn on a shelf right now in terms of marketing. Let's not fight over whether USDA is right or wrong on corn. That's an issue that will come out later. But let's look at beans. The USDA and those numbers, especially for the United States, they're not being argued too much in the beans. No one in the Chicago trade that I know of is really fighting that 275 carryover or the idea that we've lost demand and lost exports to China. So let's focus on the beans at this point and come back to corn. And as a result of that, I actually lowered my November 12 undervalue level for bean futures. I actually brought it down 45 cents down to 10.45. So I am introducing a lower potential price later down the road if South American weather doesn't turn back drier that because of the report yesterday.
Right. When you said to focus on the beans, I thought, oh, man, if you're going to focus on that number and they're going to lead the marketplace, that probably means a lower run. And
yeah, and it's very hard to get the clients that I work with to look at corn and doing any corn hedging because, quite frankly, they're just ticked off. They're ticked off because we've had a June, a SEP, and now a January report that's been bearish and kind of thwarted, you know, the rally and started to chew up the charts again.
Well, you can be mad personally, but being mad business, that doesn't work too well.
That's the key, and I think that's where it goes back to the beans. If we really do go into a globalized slowdown in 2012 and China slows down with Europe, that's going to hurt the beans more. A stronger dollar is probably going to hurt the beans more. So let's work on the beans and work on the profit there, and then we can come back in February when we look at the base price for crop insurance and see what we need to do for corn.
Okay, so what number did you give me for beans for?
It was at 10.90 for an undervalue. Now I've moved that down to 10.45 for NOV 12 futures. That's where the undervalue comes in, where I think the market's probably gone low enough.
Not quite a buck and a half lower.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
$1.15 Okay. Well, good enough. Anything else we had to talk about for the day?
You know, one thing I will mention is I've been doing a weekly blog for a couple other people, and I decided to just throw that on my website. And also, I've updated the winter meeting schedule on my website. So, if you have time, check it out and give me some feedback at globalanalytics.biz.
Okay, globalanalytics.biz. So it has a different extension than most, .biz
yep.
for biz. Cool. Everybody can go and take a look at it. That'll be great.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Go visit his website at globalanalytics.biz. Go visit our website at willag.org. And when you're there, you'll find a couple of things, including about halfway down the page, some links to the USDA numbers and to our calendar. Click on one of those, calendar in particular, and you'll see that next week, Dave Dickey will be out with a whole bunch of our analysts, including Mike Zuzulo. That'll happen on January 18th up at the Elks Club in Pontiac. But on the 17th, they'll be in Taylorville. And on Monday, the 16th, they'll be at the Remington Public Library there in Remington. Chris Hurt, ag economist from Purdue, will be with them. Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities and Lee Goss at EFG. That's at the Remington Public Library in Remington, Indiana, on the 16th of January, I think that is Monday of this coming week. So if you get the opportunity, go and visit with them. I know Dave Dickey will be along with them. And I'll be out, of course, on the road with the Corn and Soybean Classic and U of I Extension. We'll talk more about when and where that will happen just a bit later.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, speaking of Dave, he's here now, has all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama will ask Congress for authority to merge the agency that negotiates U.S. trade deals into the Commerce Department. President Obama will seek a vote in Congress within 3 months on the proposal. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, one of President Obama's fellow Democrats, and some other senior members of Congress have expressed concern that the USTR, a small cabinet-level agency of some 240 career employees, could lose its focus if forced into a larger department. But President Obama is set to cast the move as part of his goal to double U.S. exports within 5 years. Published reports in China quote officials at the Ministry of Science and Technology as saying that China's annual white paper on agriculture will focus on technology to boost food output rather than farm income or rural development issues of previous years. The white paper, which will set agricultural policy guidelines for 2012, will be pushing for technology innovation and developing modern agriculture. Agriculture experts expect the document to set guidelines on seed cultivation and on implementing a program of promoting the application of genetically modified technology that was first introduced in 2008. They also expect the 2012 white paper to focus on research and development. A survey at the AFBF's annual meeting in Hawaii suggests that U.S. farmers expect another year of rising income and even higher costs and plan to boost their plantings of soybeans and corn this year. Farmers say they expect to increase their corn plantings by 6%, soybean acres by 2.5%, and wheat acres by 7.1%. Only cotton acreage was seen down. 24% of respondents expect their farm income to rise by as much as 5% compared to 2011. But almost 40% of those surveyed predicted costs would rise between 5.1% and 10%. The USDA will release its first farm income estimates for 2012 in February. Archer Daniels Midland Company says that it plans to cut 1,000 mostly salaried jobs. The move will cut 15% of the Decatur-based company's corporate staff, about 3% of its total workforce. ADM expects to save about $100 million in annual expenses from the cuts, along with other cost-cutting measures. ADM says it will first offer employees a chance to voluntarily retire early if they are at least 57 years old and meet other requirements. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and This Week and Next, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Thanks to all those folks that we caught up with in Mount Vernon, Springfield, and right here in Champaign this week. Next week on the Corn and Soybean Classic Series, we'll start Monday morning at 8 o'clock. If you want to walk in, it's $75 at the Doubletree in Bloomington, Illinois. Tuesday, we'll be at Kishwaukee Community College. That's just outside of DeKalb in the northern part of the state. And then we'll make our way to the Quad Cities, to the iWireless Center, right down near John Deere there. And we'll wrap up on Thursday in Quincy at the Holiday Inn. It's the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Runs from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock each and every day. Next week, at least Monday through Thursday. Walk-ins are welcome for a $75 fee. Hey, you know, the other thing coming up tomorrow is Commodity Week, and we'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. Our guest, Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report. You might see him or read from him on agweb.com or on farmdirection.com. That's his particular website. But you can always pick him up on our website at willag.org, because we'll talk to him for Commodity Week this evening, posted there by about 6 o'clock. Our panelists in studio include Greg Johnson, Paul Cooley, and Bill Mayer. Now, up next, the failure of the Super Committee to deliver a budget plan for the federal government last year. Well, that left the farm bill open for discussion. I'll have more on the legislative debate that should now come about in a more usual fashion. If the Super Committee had done what it was charged with doing, coming up with $1.2 trillion in spending cuts, Nick Paulson says the writing of the next farm bill, the 2012 edition of the recurring legislation, would have been much easier.
So now we're in a position where we don't really know what to expect, and the farm bill process will extend into next year and kind of go through a more standard procedure for that.
Well, the standard operating procedure, says Paulson, an ag economist and farm policy specialist from the University of Illinois, is for the divergent farm organizations to propose legislation changes that might benefit their particular type of farm and political leaning. He says, despite the differences, there is some very clear direction for the future of the farm program.
And the general themes out of that are that most of the commodity programs that we currently have are probably on their way out. Specifically, the direct payment program will probably be eliminated or significantly reduced. And kind of the shift or the direction that most proposals seem to be heading is going towards some type of revenue-based program. As being kind of the commodity program that'll be available to grain producers.
those revenue-based programs act to protect farmer income. Now, Paulson says the proposals are distinctly divided. Some would like a deep loss program. Others want to cover losses that occur more frequently, or what is termed as a shallow income loss. The American Farm Bureau Federation put together a deep loss proposal.
And that program, the revenue guarantee would be based on either county or if county level yield information is not available, crop reporting district yields, and then using the harvest insurance prices, the same type of harvest insurance price used in insurance programs. That would pay out when revenue fell below some percentage of revenue based on those yields and prices. The guarantee could be anywhere from 80 to 90%, depending on the total spending cuts that are kind of outlined for ag. And there'd be no payment cap on that. So it would cover kind of a really deep portion of the overall revenue risk profile.
The shallow loss proposals, one from a group of Midwestern congressmen and something similar from the National Corn Growers Association, would look similar to the current acre program, but limit payouts.
This program would have a limit on how much money can be received, so only 10% of the revenue guarantee, and it would cover more minor losses, so losses in excess of 90 or 95% of the revenue guarantee. So kind of a different area of that risk profile that program's covering.
Now, Congress should take up the farm bill this spring, and with the presidential election coming in November, if history is a guide, it will be completed by early summer. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. This program, the Closing Market Report, will be with you on Monday. But, of course, the markets are closed for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. On the phone line for this Friday afternoon now, time to check the agricultural cash grain market. And Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company joins us. Oh, what a difference a week makes.
Yeah, I don't have any customers out playing golf as far as I know this afternoon.
I know. We're golfing in tonight. We're going to 8 degrees and one below on a wind chill, and the market changed direction too. So everything is all different in a week, isn't it?
A dramatic change out there.
Yeah. So I've got to ask, because farmers say, well, where's all the corn? And the question then is, really, where is all the corn? No ground piles. I kind of understand that 2 years of short crop. But is there just that much maybe storage out there that it's actually in storage and you can't see it?
Well, around here, I think we definitely had a shorter crop. How much more, I don't know. You have a few differences. And this doesn't mean that I'm going to totally embrace the USDA numbers, but we did go in essentially empty into the year this year. My harvest was a month later than last year, so when we started the crop, there was basically nothing in the bins or just the bare minimum. So that helped. You look at where we are around here, I put up 1 million bushel of new storage last year. There's a couple, 2 to 3 million more in Gibson City that went up in the last year. So there's an awful lot of space that's been added around the countryside.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good not to totally embrace it, because that's probably a pretty hot number at the moment. Hey, what are your bids for the day?
We are at $5.98 on the nearby corn and $11.34 on soybeans.
Okay, thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois, and helps us wrap up for some of our radio stations this edition of the Closing Market Report. For the rest of you, stick around. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about those cold temperatures with the folks at the Illinois State Water Survey.
It's National Peach Melba Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Salmon Portland Chase was born. He was Secretary of the Treasury under Abraham Lincoln, and later he served as Chief Justice. One of his lasting legacies was leading the court to determine the changed boundaries of state and federal relationships in the wake of the Civil War and untimely death of Lincoln. In 1833, President Andrew Jackson wrote his vice president a letter expressing his opposition to South Carolina's defiance of federal authority. The crisis began the previous November when South Carolina nullified a federal tariff that favored northern manufacturing over southern agriculture. Jackson feared the nullification might split the Union. In 1927, the U.S. and Mexico battled over oil interests. The land law, which the Mexican legislature designed to break up the large estates, restricted foreign land ownership in Mexico. The law alienated American oil corporations operating in Mexico and increased tensions between the two countries. And in 1957, the first Frisbee was produced. The pie tins of the Frisbee Pie Company of Connecticut have often been cited as the inspiration for the creation of the Frisbee. A WAMO employee supposedly saw drivers for the pie company showing Yale students how to sail their pie tins, which ultimately led to the invention. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the weather forecast. Jim Angel, Illinois State Water Survey, state climatologist out of the Prairie Research Center right here on the UI campus is with us. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And it was nice, yeah, a week ago. And tonight we're going to, well, with the wind chill, one below zero. Have we made our way to the cold air and will we stay with it for a while now?
I think it's safe to say that winter has finally arrived in Illinois after very unusual-like weather there with ice, like you said, in the 40s and 50s and people playing golf and wondering where all the snow was. And it's come with a vengeance here. We've got a pretty good dose of snow yesterday and today. It's probably our first winter storm of the season. Tonight, like, yeah, as you said, the air temperatures will get down to about 8 degrees, and with the wind chill factored in at minus 1. Tomorrow, high of 24 with a slight chance of snow, and then Saturday night, low of 14. And Sunday, a little sunnier and a high of 34, so we may see some of the snow start to disappear. Sunday night, not quite as cold, low of 31, and then rain on Martin Luther King holiday, with a high of 44, and then later on we're going to get into the next winter storm system, so we'll probably see another shot of snow about Tuesday or Wednesday and colder temperatures. But the forecast models really for the next 2 weeks show us as a much more active and more winter-like weather pattern. So I think we're finally into winter weather now.
I'll be making my way across a good portion of the northern part of the state next week. We'll be in Bloomington on Monday, and then Tuesday up in DeKalb and Moline on Wednesday, and then over to Quincy on Thursday for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Any rough goes there, or will be kind of typical winter weather?
I think it'll be more typical. I really don't see like a really big storm system at this point, but there is the chance of snow, rain turning to snow Monday and then Tuesday. But then after that, it'll probably clear off. It'll still be cold, but at least it won't be snowing. Probably just kind of typical winter weather. You probably add a little extra time for those trips and keep an eye on the weather forecast.
No, we're good about adding extra time.
There you go.
Find a place to settle down and eat a nice supper and wait it out. That's what we usually do. All right. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, okay?
Okay, you're welcome.
That's Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and the Prairie Research Center. And I'll be, of course, out with the Corn and Soybean Classics, but next week Dave will be out, too, in the evenings on Monday. He'll He'll be in Remington at the library there. That's actually Monday during the day. I said during the evening, but that's 11:30 Eastern, 12:30 in the Central. I'm sorry, 12:30 Eastern and 11:30. Let me get the times right. 11:30 Eastern time, 12:30 Central. Chris Hurt and Bill Gentry and Lee Goss on hand with him. That's over at the Remington Public Library on Monday, of course. It's a holiday. We'll be here with the closing market report, but it'll be a reconfigured edition of Commodity Week. Our guest for that one is Kevin Van Trump. And then on Tuesday, Dave will be out in the evening in Taylorville. And then on Wednesday, he'll be at the Elks Club up in Pontiac. You can find all the details for that one on our website at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon and a very good holiday weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.